Welcome to episode 1400 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. This week, we are exploring the seventh guideline as recorded in Exodus 20, verse 14.
You shall not commit adultery.
When we think of adultery, we think of physical infidelity, a sexual act outside of marriage. The seventh commandment certainly addresses this. But the prophets of Israel reveal something deeper. They show us that adultery is not primarily about what happens between bodies. Adultery is about the heart. It is about where your loyalty belongs. It is about whom you love, ultimately. The prophets use marriage language to describe Israel's relationship with God, and they describe Israel's worship of other gods as adultery. Listen to what God says through the prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah 3, verse 20.
Like a woman unfaithful to her husband, so you, Israel, have been unfaithful to me.
Israel has committed adultery, not with another person, but with other gods. Israel has turned away from the covenant with God and pursued idolatry. This is spiritual adultery. And it reveals the seventh commandment is about far more than sexual ethics. It is about the fundamental loyalty of the heart, about whom you ultimately worship, about where your desire and devotion are ultimately directed. The book of Hosea is extraordinary. God commands this prophet, who ministered to the northern kingdom of Israel in the 8th century BC, to marry Gomer, a woman who will be unfaithful to him. Listen to what God says in Hosea 1, verse 2.
Find a whore and marry her. Make this whore the mother of your children. And here's why. This whole country has become a whorehouse, unfaithful to me.
Quite the statement. Hosea marries Gomer. She bears children. But then Gomer commits adultery. She leaves Hosea and becomes involved with other men. She is unfaithful to her covenant. And Hosea's marriage becomes a living parable of Israel's relationship with God. Gomer's unfaithfulness mirrors Israel's unfaithfulness. Her departure mirrors Israel's turning away from God. But then God commands something shocking in Hosea 3, verse 1.
Go show your love to your wife again, though she is loved by another man and is an adulteress. Love her as the Lord loves the Israelites, though they turn to other gods.
God commands Hosea to go after his unfaithful wife, to buy her back, to restore her, to love her despite her betrayal. And through this painful, humiliating act, this prophet becomes a living witness to God's covenant love. Hosea shows what it looks like when God refuses to abandon Israel despite Israel's spiritual adultery, when God pursues, restores, and loves despite betrayal. Listen to what comes next in Hosea 2, verses 19 and 20.
I will make you my wife forever, showing you righteousness and justice, unfailing love and compassion. I will be faithful to you and make you mine, and you will finally know me as the Lord.
Even after the betrayal, even after the unfaithfulness, God promises to restore the relationship. God offers a new covenant. His love is relentless. The prophet Jeremiah also uses marriage language to describe Israel's spiritual unfaithfulness. God says in Jeremiah 2, verse 2,
I remember the devotion of your youth, how as a bride you loved me and followed me through the wilderness, through a land not sown.
There was a time when Israel was devoted to God, like a bride devoted to her husband. But that has changed. Chapter 3, verse 20.
But like a woman unfaithful to her husband, so you, Israel, have been unfaithful to me. You have loved foreign gods and run after them.
Israel has done exactly what the seventh commandment forbids. Been unfaithful, loved someone else, run after other gods. But notice the relentless appeal of God's love in verse 22.
Return, faithless people, for I will cure you of backsliding.
God keeps calling, keeps inviting Israel to return, does not give up on the covenant. Despite betrayal, despite unfaithfulness, God remains faithful. The prophets reveal that idolatry is not primarily about intellectual error. It is about relational betrayal. When Israel worships other gods, they are not simply making a mistake about which deity is real. They are committing adultery against God, saying, "We love you less than we love these other gods. We are more devoted to them than to you. We desire them more than we desire you." This is spiritual adultery, betrayal of a covenant relationship, breaking of a promise made at Sinai. And it matters because God loves Israel. He has chosen them, entered into covenant with them. And Israel's turning to other gods is not just wrong, it is heartbreaking. Listen to how God expresses this in Hosea 11, verse 8.
How can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, Israel? My heart is changed within me. All my compassion is aroused.
God's language is the language of a betrayed spouse, anguished, torn. God loves Israel even as Israel betrays God. The seventh commandment forbids adultery because adultery is fundamentally about misplaced devotion. When you commit adultery, you are saying to your spouse, I desire someone else more than I desire you. I am more loyal to another than to you. I am breaking the covenant we made. But this principle extends beyond sexual relationships. Whenever you give your ultimate loyalty to someone or something other than God, you are committing spiritual adultery. Whenever you love something more than you love God, you are breaking covenant with God. This is why idolatry is so serious. It is not just a theological mistake. It is spiritual unfaithfulness. It is the betrayal of the most fundamental relationship, your relationship with God. The seventh commandment, properly understood, is about loyalty, about whom you love ultimately. It is about the exclusive devotion that covenant requires. What does spiritual adultery look like today? It looks like putting career before God, investing your primary energy and devotion in getting ahead, in accumulating wealth, in achieving status. It looks like putting relationships before God, making another person your ultimate source of meaning and validation, expecting them to complete you, to save you, to be what only God can be. It looks like putting comfort before God, ordering your life around avoiding difficulty, around maximizing pleasure, around protecting yourself from sacrifice. It looks like putting ideology before God, becoming so devoted to a political movement or social cause that it becomes your religion, believing the victory of your cause will save the world. It looks like putting entertainment before God, spending your time, attention, and emotional energy on media and distraction rather than on God and community. And anytime you give your ultimate loyalty to something other than God, you are committing spiritual adultery. You are breaking the covenant, betraying the one who loves you. But the prophets also reveal something remarkable. God's love does not give up. Despite Israel's unfaithfulness, God keeps calling, keeps pursuing, keeps offering restoration. This is not because Israel deserves it. They do not. Israel has been unfaithful, has betrayed, has given ultimate loyalty elsewhere. But God loves anyway. His covenant love is relentless. He refuses to abandon. And God offers restoration, offers to begin again, offers a new covenant built on grace rather than on Israel's faithfulness. This is the gospel. This is what it means that grace is free. God loves us not because we are faithful, but because He is faithful. He pursues us not because we deserve it, but because He has chosen to love us. The seventh commandment forbids adultery. The prophets show us this is not just about sexual behavior. Adultery is about misplaced loyalty. It is about giving your heart to someone or something other than your covenant partner. And the prophets reveal that all of us, have committed spiritual adultery against God. We have all given our ultimate loyalty elsewhere. We have all run after other gods. We have all betrayed the covenant. But the prophets also reveal God's response: relentless love, pursuit, a willingness to restore despite betrayal, a covenant that holds even when we break it. When we return, when we repent, when we align our loyalty with God, we experience what Israel was offered: restoration, renewal, the promise God will commit us to Himself in faithfulness. And in that restored covenant, we find freedom. We find the ability to be faithful in other relationships because our ultimate loyalty is clear. We find the ability to resist other forms of adultery because our heart belongs to God. Father, help us see where we have committed spiritual adultery. Help us recognize the places where we have given our ultimate loyalty to something other than You. Help us repent and return. Help us understand that faithfulness in our relationships flows from faithfulness to You. Help us experience Your relentless covenant love, Your willingness to pursue us despite our betrayal, Your willingness to restore us despite our unfaithfulness. Help us return to You as our first love. And help us become people whose ultimate loyalty is to You, so that in all our relationships, we can reflect the faithfulness You have shown us. That's our episode. Remember, God calls you not only to live, but to thrive, live life to the full, today.